heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio.
And I'm Father Michael Sparrow from the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House, and I'm delighted to be your host for this special edition of Healing the Whole Person on Holy Thursday. With me is my guest, Joan Carter McHugh. She is an author of several books, but two that we'd like to lift up today is one of them is entitled Feast of Faith, Confessions of a Eucharistic Pilgrim, and Dying to Live, Faith, My Path to Health. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you, Father. Thank you very much. I love being with you.
Tell us, this book, Feast of Faith, Confessions of a Eucharistic Pilgrim, has a very special place in your heart, and you visited, as I understand, all of these many different places where Eucharistic miracles took place. How did you happen to embark on such a journey?
Well, it all started in the chapel at Marytown in Libertyville. I was like in tears before the Lord, praying for healing for myself, for our marriage, for my life. I needed direction, and I opened scripture to a passage, and it was from Isaiah, and the passage was, I will deliver you from bondage. I will lead you into a new land of freedom. And I thought, you know what, is that the trip we're going to take? Is Jesus speaking to me about this trip? I had no idea what it meant, and he was going to deliver me from bondage. So I took that to my heart, and we embarked on this journey to see the Eucharistic miracles in Italy.
So you came with a heavy heart. You
yes.
came in bondage yourself.
Yes.
And
yes.
tell us, what was the result? Maybe we jump to the end, and then I want to hear hear about
all
some
right.
of the places that you visited. But what was the impact on your life of visiting all of these different sites where Eucharistic miracles took place? How did that impact you?
Well, it was probably in a twofold way. The first was I already had a love of the Eucharist and a devotion to it from the Sacred Heart nuns for 12 years, and it reinforced my belief, seeing these miracles up close in the real presence. Obviously, Jesus had allowed these miracles,
yes,
you know, to show himself to us. But secondly, I probably cried my way through Italy in all these darkened chapels. I'd sit there, and the tears would be pouring out of me. And I swear, the saints spoke to me. I had lots of messages about my life and the need for healing and to deliver me from bondage, and I needed to learn forgiveness and a whole lot of stuff, which is all in the book.
Yes.
So that was the beginning of the healing, deeper healing of my life and our marriage, actually, which I had prayed so hard for.
So healing is so often seen as a process. Sometimes there are these instantaneous healings where the burden is lifted, but most of the time, the image I use, it's like a seed planted in the ground that only gradually begins to grow, and that healing takes place over time.
Yes, yes.
Tell us, and our listeners, what were some of the favorite places that you visited of these Eucharistic miracles?
Before you had said, let's go to the end first. So I didn't tell you what the real lesson of the trip was, that the bondage the Lord wanted to me to deliver from was
yes.
The sin of abortion, which you know, had happened before I was married. And I had no idea when I started that trip that that was the bondage that the Lord wanted to free me from.
So, Joan, I've known you for many years, and I didn't know that that was a struggle in your life. So here's a woman who is an author of many books, who is about as committed a Catholic Christian as I know, and the sin of abortion and that struggle has touched your life. I find that a source of great encouragement for other women that are out there that may think themselves shamed or outside of God's graces forever, because, or any of us, that there's some sin that I've committed that can't be forgiven. I'm just outside of God's mercy. And what the mysteries that we're celebrating at this time of year, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, leading into Easter Sunday, is that there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. None of us are outside of God's mercy. God wants that healing of that sense of shame that sin brings. God wants to heal that in our lives.
And the irony is that I didn't even know I needed healing from it. It's like God called me to it through this trip, and he revealed it to me little by little, that was at the root of so much of the pain.
So I think that's so instructive that you felt this sense of oppression. You felt yourself weighed down, but you didn't know the source of it.
I didn't know what it was.
And through this pilgrimage of faith, gradually your eyes were opened to look more deeply into your past and to see, This is a primary source for me.
And the healing didn't actually happen until I came home, and the Lord led me to a wonderful Catholic therapist who actually helped me uncover the root and the sin. But
there was a new openness there.
Because I felt so loved by the Lord that it just opened me up. And I also my husband was a great support because he wanted me to feel good, and he wanted me to be happy, and he didn't understand why I wasn't.
Yes.
And I also think that he had the harder part because I was always blaming him for what was wrong. And it was really in me.
Yes.
But I kept seeing this speck in my brother's eye. So he was just, God gave him to me to help me become whole is what it was.
And the gift of Jesus's love, of experiencing his love through the Eucharist and on this pilgrimage of faith, gave you the courage to be able to look at a dark chapter in your life.
That's right.
Gave you new eyes to be able to look at your husband and not to see him as the problem.
That's right.
But a fellow pilgrim along the journey.
That's right. And to love him,
And to love him.
Because I wasn't loving myself. I had such self-hate.
So at the heart of the Eucharist, and I think it's the miracle behind any physical Eucharistic miracle is experiencing the mystery of Jesus' love.
Yes.
That's what Jesus gives us, his body and blood, and he wants us to feel his love, to believe in that love.
Yes.
And then at certain times in history, he's broken into history in an extraordinary way to say, I mean what I said, that I give you my body, I give you my blood. Tell us now some of your favorite stories from that pilgrimage.
He does so in a dramatic way. The oldest of the miracles happened in San Damiano, Italy, and 700, and Jesus is, during Mass, the priest was consecrating, and the host turned to flesh, and it also began to bleed profusely.
And this priest, he was a devout priest?
No, he was doubting the presence, he was doubting the real presence of Christ.
So the priest himself was doubting.
Had a bit of a faith crisis.
And in the midst of the Mass.
In the midst of the consecration, the host began to bleed, and it turned to flesh. And so that miracle is still in a ciborium, or I don't know what you call it, a reliquary, in Lanciano, Italy, and you go up these steps to stand by it and pray in front of it. And the flesh was tested so many times by so many scientists, and the blood. And the blood was found to be type A blood, AB blood, which is our Lord's blood. And the blood is coagulated, but it tests electrically as if it's only an hour old to this day.
That's astounding.
Normal blood, you know, loses its potency after 20 minutes or maybe up to an hour, but this tests electrically only an hour old.
So there we have advances in science that are looking at a miracle that took place back in the eighth century.
Yes.
And it continues to stand up to scientific investigation.
And this was all, there were other miracles. This was one of them. Oh, and I forgot to tell you that the flesh was from the muscular tissue of the heart. So it was Jesus' heart muscle flesh that was that
yes,
he revealed.
I love that detail. Let's just slow down and reflect on that. That the Eucharist turns to flesh, it's bleeding.
Right.
The host turns to human flesh and it's bleeding. And when they test it, it's found to be heart muscle.
Yes.
What that says is Jesus is literally giving us
his heart.
There's a parallel story. I'm a Jesuit. I know you know that. And a famous story for us is that Jean de Brebeuf was one of the Jesuit missionaries to the Native Americans. Coming from France, and he was martyred by the Iroquois. And what the Iroquois did while he was still alive, they cut out his heart and ate it because they wanted his strength. I heard that story when I was a little boy, and it really impressed me because there's something so primitive in that of what it said was the Iroquois respected their enemy,
yes,
but they wanted his strength.
Heart.
And how did they do that? They took his heart. In a bizarre, twisted kind of way, down in Mexico and throughout Central America, some of the pagan gods would demand that young virgins be sacrificed, and they would cut out their hearts, and then they would lift them up and burn them as a sacrifice to the god. This goddess was demanding human sacrifice. Here's exactly the reverse of God giving us
his heart,
yes, and saying, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be whole.
Yes, his sacred heart.
His sacred heart. I want you to know how much I love you.
Mm.
Because that's where the healing takes place.
Yes.
When we have the knowledge that despite our sins, despite our weakness, Jesus loves us, forgives us. That's the mystery that we're entering into with this Holy Thursday, Good Friday celebration. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in just a few moments to continue to explore stories of Eucharistic miracles throughout the centuries. Again, my guest is Joan Carter McHugh, author of many books, but we're focusing on Feast of Faith, Confessions of a Eucharistic Pilgrim, and Dying to Live, Faith, My Path to Health. I'm Father Michael Sparrow. We'll be right back after a short break.
Hello, I'm Juliana Tamarazzi from the Iraqi Christian Relief Council in Chicago. Our culture needs Catholic radio as a tool for evangelization and catechesis. As a powerful platform, Catholic radio brings Christ to us all and brings us closer to Christ. Get the real Catholic news from Catholic radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore, wishing the fullness of God's blessings upon all those who will soon be receiving a sacrament for the first time. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information, including a virtual tour, is available on Facebook.
Looking at term life insurance? Consider life insurance from Catholic Financial Life and see how we put Catholic values in action. To learn more, call Matt Tomlinson at 847-548-MATT. 847-548-6288.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Healing the Whole Person. I'm Father Michael Sparrow, your host for today. I'm at the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House. With me is my guest, Joan Carter McHugh, author of Feast of Faith and Dying to Live. Joan and I were just speaking during the break, and she smiled and said, you know, I really didn't intend to tell you about that abortion. And then she laughed and said, but it's a testament to the depth of healing that has taken place. And Joan, I just want to go back to that for a moment.
Sure.
I'm a Project Rachel priest. I've worked with a lot of women who have had abortions, and I know what a painful journey that can be, but what a liberating journey that can be. And the fact that here you are willing to go on radio and talk about that so openly is a testament to the depth of healing that has taken place.
Well, you know, I surprised myself. I didn't expect to say that, but it's the truth of my life. And you had mentioned we would go to the end first, the end of the trip, and then it flashed in my mind, well, the end of the trip was, you know, uncovering this abortion. And what I find so beautiful is that the Lord gave me a prophecy before I went on the trip from the reading from Isaiah, I will deliver you from bondage. And I had no idea what that meant. But I often go back to read that passage because he wanted me delivered. He wants us delivered.
Yes.
You know, even if we don't know it. And he forgives us before we even, you know, are willing to admit it. So his love is just so over the top. And anyway, I do feel healed of that.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful.
And the fact that you can witness to that so boldly is a testament to the depth of the healing that is taking place.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You were also mentioning one of your favorite miracle stories is the origins of our Feast of Corpus Christi, which is, of course, Latin for the body of Christ.
Right.
There was another famous Eucharistic miracle that took place that inspired that feast day.
That was one of the first miracles we visited, actually. We went to Orvieto, which was a lovely mountain wine town, and which delighted my husband. He just pictured he could sit there and sip wine and I could go into these churches. Well, I dragged him in once or twice. He got to like it, but we did go in to see this famous miracle that happened in a little church outside of Orvieto, and in that case, a priest was doubting the real presence. In fact, he was on his way to Rome to pray at the tomb of St. Peter for his vacation. His name was Peter of Prague.
Yes.
And he said Mass in the basement of this very old church, and when he was lifting the host to consecrate it, blood started dripping, and it dripped all over the corporal and all over the marble stones on which he was standing. So he
at the moment of consecration.
At the moment of consecration,
the host began to
bleed. And so it bled so much that you can still see the corporal today, and you can still see the stones. They have them in a glass case that with the blood drips. And of course, they tested the blood, and it's the same blood as Jesus' blood, AB, type AB.
And that particular, now what's the connection between that miracle and the beginnings of the Feast of Corpus Christi?
Well, then Peter of Prague summoned Pope Urban IV, who was staying in Orvieto in the summer, to come to see this corporal. So the Pope set out on horseback and met him. And Peter held up the corporal, and the Pope knelt down with his whole entourage and said, this certainly is the real presence of Christ. I am going to issue a papal bull and declare the Feast of Corpus Christi. And but I should tell you,
and that's the same Feast of Corpus Christi
that
we celebrate today,
tonight at Mass, the Feast of the Body of Christ, the Body and Blood of Christ. But I should tell you that this priest, Pope Urban IV, was used to hear a confession of Juliana, of Liège in Belgium, and she told him in confession, way before he was Pope, that she had a dream that about the church calendar, and there was one feast missing, the feast of the body and blood of Christ. Now, this is many years prior to this.
Yes.
And so when he became Pope, Urban IV, he remembered Juliana's dream.
Yes.
And so years before, our Lord had given her a vision and a dream, or a dream that he wanted a feast to honor his body and blood. So then the Pope was able to finally do that.
So tonight we celebrate the Feast of Holy Thursday, which is the institution of the Eucharist. And then we'll work our way through the Easter season, culminating in Pentecost. And then those great feasts and Corpus Christi following shortly after the Feast of Pentecost.
Right.
So that's wonderful to know the origins of where that came into the liturgical calendar.
There was one other thing. The Pope invited St. Thomas Aquinas to write the liturgy.
I was just going to ask you about
the Feast
of
Corpus Christi.
Yes.
And he wrote this beautiful liturgy, and he composed two songs, which we still sing today, Tantum Ergo and O Salutaris. And those were written right then for that feast.
In connection with
and
that.
And also, another beautiful story, St. Thomas was one day kneeling in his friary in front of a crucifix of our Lord. And Jesus came alive in the crucifix and said, "Thou hast written well of the sacrament of my body. What do you want?" And St. Thomas, just his reaction was, I just want you, Lord. And all the friars heard and saw Jesus come alive. And Jesus was reaffirming and thanking St. Thomas for his great devotion to his real presence, you know, and his love of the Eucharist.
What great wisdom in Thomas's response, "I only want you, Lord."
Yes.
That's our heart's desire. It echoes what St. Augustine said so long ago. Our hearts are restless, and they will not rest until they rest in you.
Yeah.
We get so caught up in our world today that we think it's this or that thing or this or that latest gadget, or we
yes.
think it's even the publication of a book or
yes.
being honored by other people.
Yes.
And the reality is, when we get those things, they do not satisfy
yes.
us on the deepest levels.
Yes.
The wisdom of Thomas, and it proves the greatness of his theology.
You know, I also think of something St. Jerome said. He said, it was during Mass, he said, "Lord, what more can I give you that I have not already given you?" And Jesus responded to him and said, "I want your emptiness that I might fill it." Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful, and that's... that's precisely the thing that we run away from. The usual wisdom is we want to give God the best of ourselves.
Yes.
And we think that that's what God expects of us. And in one sense, of course, he's given us all of our gifts and talents. The great prayer of St. Ignatius the Sushipe is, take it all, Lord,
yes.
my memory, my will, my intellect. But one of the things we hesitate to give is our emptiness.
Yes.
But when we give even from our poverty, even from our weakness, that allows God to be all in all in us.
You know, and it's such a heavy topic. How do we give God all in all? And I was on a retreat once with Father Bob Farisee, and he gave the prayer, the surrender prayer, in such a way that it's my most favorite prayer. It's like, just kneel there and just give God one thing after another. Say, Give him your life, give him your children, give him your grandchildren, whatever you're struggling with. Just give him everything, and then he can take it, and he can transform it. And you can empty yourself that way. I just love that.
Because the more empty we are, the more able we are to be filled with the presence of Christ.
That's it.
And
he called it the Lordship of Jesus prayer. And if he's Lord of our life, then we should be the happiest, most peaceful people on earth. Like, we should be just full of joy because he's pulling all the strings.
I'm often reminded that the father of modern atheism, Nietzsche, said, if Christians are redeemed,
yeah.
how come I can't see it on their faces?
Oh, man.
So Jesus wants to bring a deep peace that radiates throughout all of who we are.
That's right.
If we come to the table hungry, and I think this is what we're talking about, coming longing for the Lord's presence, yes, surrendering ourselves to Him, then we're more able, then He is more able to enter into the depths of us.
That's it.
Joan, tell us just a little bit more fully in your book, Dying to Live, of the continuation of your own healing journey.
There's a few things that jump out at me from that. Whenever I pleaded with the Lord for help, which was on a daily basis, but I had a lot of illnesses. I had scleroderma, breast cancer, lymphoma, thyroid condition, cysts, and so on. So I was very in the dark. And plus, I struggled still with a lot of pain in my life. I mean, I know I talked about the abortion, but there was still a lot of emotional stuff going on in me.
Yes.
And wanting to blame my husband for this or that. And so I begged him for help. And this one night I had a dream that...
Him being Jesus.
Jesus. And I had this dream. And in the dream... I went to a funeral, and I went up to the casket to pay my respects, and it was a nun. And then I looked at her, and it was me. Hmm. And then she opened her eye, and I said, "Why are you in a casket if you're not dead?" And she said, "Well, I'm pretending to be dead." And she said, "That way I don't have to feel the pain."
Ah, yes.
And so I dialogued. I had taught myself how to dialogue with dreams. And I had about a 4-page dialogue with this nun, which was myself. And what she told me was that I was afraid of going deeper, going to the more roots of the pain.
And what helped you go deeper was your devotion to the Eucharist, daily Mass, adoration.
Oh, absolutely.
The more you were able to experience the presence, again, of Jesus' love, that allowed you to enter into the depth of pain and ultimately release that pain. That's the journey of this dying to live.
You know, I just reread something that Father Ronald Rollheiser said, that Jesus doesn't lead us away from pain, He leads us deeper into it. And as His disciples, it's really a gift in disguise. He leads us into it to free us.
To free us. Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." But as Christians, we understand that life is through the cross.
Yes.
Fulton Sheen, the great media magnate and preacher, would so often say, "We can't have an Easter Sunday without a Good Friday."
Yes.
And it's on the night before He was betrayed, knowing everything that was going to unfold, that Jesus gives us this gift, His abiding presence within us.
That's so the cross is the icon of our transformation. We are transformed through the cross, through uniting ourselves with our Lord.
Amen.
And
He gives us His body, His blood, to sustain us as we carry the cross.
To strengthen us, yes.
Day by day. Thank you, Joan Carter McHugh. We've been talking about her two books, Dying to Live and Feast of Faith. I'm Father Michael Sparrow at the Bellarmine Jesuit Retreat House. Please come and visit us at jesuitretreat.org. We're delighted that you were part of our listening audience here today at WSFI 88.5. May your hearts be open to receive the gift of God's love, especially through the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you, and have a happy Holy Easter.
You have been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase additional CD copies, please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at wsfiradio.org.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.